الإمام ابن رجب الحنبلي رحمه الله, one of the students of the author of the book. He was first to refer to this work among the scholars as Adda'u wa Dawa رحمه الله. It became well known from amongst the scholars as Adda'u wa Dawa. The first time the book was published, as we explained in the last class, it was published with the name Al-Jawab al-Kafi liman sa'ala 'an ad-dawa' ash-shafi, the sufficiency, the response of sufficiency, liman sa'ala 'an ad-dawa', regarding the one who asks for that cure that is ash-shafi, that leaves no traces of disease, the cure that is completely nillah, because that cure will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the cure that comes from Allah, Allah heals without leaving behind any trace of the ailment. So that ailment, Allah removes it completely. So this book, it's either referred to as Adda'u wa Dawa or as Al-Jawab al-Kafi lima sa'ala 'an ad-dawa ash-shafi. We explained in the last class too that the author of this book was Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim. If we say Ibn al-Qayyim, we refer to him as the son of the head teacher. If we say Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, we refer to him as the son of the head teacher of al-Madrasat al-Jawziyyah. So he is Ibn Qayyim al-Madrasat al-Jawziyyah. One of the names that I have also found common with him, and that has been employed by a number of scholars regarding this Imam, is the title Imamul Madrasat al-Jawziyyah. Imamul Madrasat al-Jawziyyah. Because when his father, who was the Qayyim of al-Madrasat al-Jawziyyah, when he passed away, Ibn al-Qayyim became the Imam of that madrasa. So Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, who was his student also, rahimahumallah, began to refer to him as Imam al-Madrasat al-Jawziyyah in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, when he spoke about his Shaykh Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. But as for his own name, his name was Muhammad, and his kunya was Abu Abdullah. His father's name was Abu Bakrin. His grandfather's name was Ayub. So he is Muhammad ibn Abi Bakrin ibn Ayub. So Qayyim al-Madrasat al-Jawziyyah, his father, who was the head of the madrasa called Al-Madrasat al-Jawziyyah in Dimashq, his name was Abu Bakrin ibn Ayyub. The reason I like to emphasize all of this is that many times people read books and they know little or nothing about the author of the book. Some may not even remember the name of the book. We said also in the last class that the book was a response to a question. He was asked a question, rahimahullah, and he gave a response with this book in about 400 pages, depending on the print, rahimahullah, as a response to that question that servant of Allah asked him, rahimahullah. A servant of Allah asked him a question, and he gave an answer to that question in what we now all know as the book Adda wa Dawa. I hope that it is clear, Ikhwa. Can we hear me? Can we hear me, Ikhwa?
Naam, ya Sheikh.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So the copy, Bismillah, will be employing on the screen is the print that was supervised by Sheikh Bakr Ibn Abdullah Abu Zaid. The print will display on the screen is the print that was supervised by Sheikh Bakr Ibn Abdullah Abu Zaid, published by Daru Ibn Hazmin and Daru Ata'atil Ilm. It has also been published by other publishing houses before these two. It will be on the screen, inshallah. And the copy I will be reading from is the most recent copy of this book, Biznillah, with the checking and editing of Abu Abdurrahman Nidal Ibn Abdul Karim Musa, one of the students of Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Badr in Al-Madina. He listened to the explanation of the Sheikh. He worked on the book, and from place to place, from time to time, he was bringing us additional notes from Sheikh Abdul Razak, that well-known eminent scholar of the people of Medina, Hafizahullah. So back to our text proper, Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, the book says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. The person who asked the question said, مَا تَقُولُ أَسَّادَةُ الْعُلَمَاءِ أَئِمَّةُ الدِّينِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ فِي رَجُلٍ بُتُلِيَ بِبَلِيَّةٍ. What is it that the scholars as-sadatul ulama'u a'immatul deen, what is it that our leading scholars a'immatul deen, those in the forefront and the matters of our religion, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, may Allah be pleased with all of them all together, what have they said and what do they say? Fi rajulin ibtuliya bi baliyatin, regarding a man, ibtuliya bi baliyatin, this man became tried with a tribulation, he became tried with a problem, he became tried with a trouble, he became tried with a serious fitna, he became tried with a grievous sin. Sheikh Abdul Razak said that this baliya is ma'asiyatun azimatun lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a serious disobedience to Allah that this man fell into. He became engrossed in it, and the entirety of his mind became darkened as a result of that sin. He was all upon it. وعلم أنها إن استمرت به أفسدت عليه دنياه وآخرته. This man, علم أنها, he was surely of the knowledge that إن استمرت به, if that baliya, if that grievous sin, if that fitna that he had gotten into, if that problem that he had gotten into, if that trial that had covered the entirety of his mind, if it continued with him, It will destroy his dunya. It will destroy his akhirah. His life will be destroyed. His hereafter will be destroyed. His relationship between himself and his Lord will be destroyed. That is essentially his akhirah. And his relationship with the people, with his wife, with his children, with his work, with everything, with his earnings, with his house where he lives, everything about him will be put into destruction because of that grievous sin that has engulfed him. He fell into the well of the sin. He said, وَقَدْ اجْتَهَدَ فِي دَفْعِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ بِكُلِّ طَرِيقٍ. And he had tried, he's making serious efforts. He had put in serious effort في دفعها, to remove that baliya, to remove that trial, and nafsihi, away from himself, بِكُلِّ طَرِيقٍ. He had employed every means that he knew to be able to get out of that trouble. He is not able to get out of the trouble. And he knew that in istamarat bihi, if that trouble continued, afsadat alayhi dunyahu wa akhiratahu, that sin, that grievous evil that he was in, these kinds of things will be regarding people who join secret cults in our own times. Sometimes when they get into it, they find it very hard to come out of it. And many of them will testify that when they belong to secret cults, when they belong to evil gangs, when they belong to criminal groups, they find it hard to leave. And they will tell you that they know that this baliya, this trial that they have fallen into, in istamarat bihim, afsadat alayhim dunyahum wa akhiratahum. They would know for certain that this evil that they have fallen into, if it continued with them, it will destroy their dunya, it will destroy their akhirah. Those are the kinds of clear, easy examples of someone who falls into the evil of emotional attachment to a man that is not lawful for him, or emotional attachment to a woman that is not lawful for him. They usually know that that thing will destroy them. It will destroy their dunya. It will destroy their akhirah. People like this are also people who fall into the evil of consuming riba. When a man begins to consume riba, if he hears any sermon about the evil of riba, he would know that this evil, in istamarat bihi, afsadat alayhi dunyahu wa akhiratahu. He would know for certain that riba will destroy him in this world. Riba will destroy him in akhirah because of all the statements of warnings and threats that he will read in the Quran and in the books of hadith and the curses of Allah upon those who consume this evil earning mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah. So he would know that this thing, if he continues, it will destroy him. And very many other things like that that people fall into. And they'll be making efforts, trying to see that they get out, but it will be difficult to come out. They are like this man. And many others are like him too, in varying degrees. But the worst of them, and those that we can easily see in the community, are those that we have mentioned. Sometimes the baliya will be the baliya of riba. A man or a woman, you can't keep away from backbiting. You can't keep away from slandering people. And you know that it's a trouble that will destroy you. One of the women in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to make a lot of ibadah. He would observe salah, make siyam, give sadaqah, and all of these. In the middle of the night, he stayed so long standing, making ibadah. When the Prophet was informed about her and the issue of the sins that she was engrossed in, what did he say, alayhi salatu wasalam? It will not profit her. So sometimes people get engaged in the evil of backbiting and slandering. That is their problem. Some people, their tongue is the baliya that they have. The fitna that they have is their tongue. They can't restrain that tongue from insulting and abusing people. They will now know that this is a baliya. And it's tamarrat bihim. If it continues like that, that they are a people who unleash their tongues against people just as they will. After that, alayhim dunyahum wa akhiratahum. Some people, the problem about the tongue is al-kadhib, telling lies. People are there. They deliberately, easily fabricate lies. But sometimes when they hear someone's, or sometimes when they come in their own selves alone, they will know that this trouble, this fitna, in istamarat bihi, afsadat alayhi dunyahu wa akhiratahu. They will know for certain that if this evil continues, it will destroy their dunya, and then it will destroy their akhirah. This person was asking this imam, rahimahullah. Said, وَقَدْ اجْتَهَدَ فِي دَفْعِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ بِكُلِّ طَرِيقٍ. This individual asking the imam this question, he had made a lot of efforts to remove himself from that trouble, from that baliya, from various means that he could find. But the trouble is that فَمَا تَزْدَادُ إِلَّا تَوَكُّدًا. The more he tries to come out, the problem that he finds is that ma tazdad, that baliya, only continued to increase in tawakkud and shidda. It continued, its flames began to get worse, and its intensity began to get worse. When the fire burns and the flame gets more, and the heat of the fire gets worse, we say it has increased tawakkudan wa madha wa shiddatan. The heat, the intensity is much, and then the flames that are burning is much. This was the trouble this man fell into. So he was asking, rahimahullah, fama al-hilatu fi daf'iha, O Imam, mal hila, what is the path? What are the actions that yarhamukallah, that I need to put in place fi daf'iha, to be able to put this thing away from myself? What do I do? How do I handle it? Wa mattariqu ila kashfiha, what is the road? He asked about actions and he asked about the road. Mal hila, what is the path? What are the actions that I will take? Here he's asking about tariq. وَمَا الطَّرِيقُ إِلَىٰ كَشْفِهَا, what is the road towards removing this baliya from myself? Allah protect all of us. He said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ وَرَحِمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَعَانَ مُبْتَلَىٰ. May Allah show his mercy and compassion on man a'ana mubtalan. May Allah show his compassion upon anybody who shows help to a mubtala, to a person who is in trial. It's like saying, may Allah show mercy to a person who shows mercy to a person inside a well. When a person is inside a well, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaykum.
عليكم
Breaking at
السلام
intervals.
ورحمة الله. I don't know why it was breaking, but can you hear me clearly now?
نعم يا شيخ علي.
Can you hear me clearly now?
نعم يا شيخ.
He said, رحم الله من أعان مبتلى. May Allah show mercy upon the one who helps a person in trial. To further encourage the Imam to give him a response, he said, Wallahu fi auni al-abdi, ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi. That was a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hadith of Abu Huraira in Sahih Muslim. He says, Wallahu fi auni al-abdi, and Allah comes in the help of his servant. Allah will regularly provide you help. Ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi, in the manner, in the approach, in the way, and as long as that individual comes in the help of the people. If you help me, Allah will help you. So this man was appealing to the Imam, citing that hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a lesson, ikhwa. When you ask the people of knowledge to, you encourage them, you tell them something that encourages them to provide you an answer. More so, this man was mubtala. This man was a man in trouble, was a man in trial. And he knew that his life, the entirety of his life, and his akhirah is at stake. So you would know his case is worse than a man who was drowning, who has a last straw. Because if a person drowns, he will only die in this dunya. But in his own case, he was certain that in istamarrat bihi, if that baliya continued, afsadat alayhi dunyahu wa akhiratahu. So his case is very, very serious. So he encouraged the Imam. He cited a hadith, Wallahu fi auni al-abd, ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi, in the manner, in the way, and as long as the servant helps his brother, Allah will help him too. He said, Rahimahullah, aftuna ma'jurin. Please give us the religious guidance on this matter. Ma'jurin. And gain the rewards. As you give us the response, may Allah grant you the rewards for your response. Like I said in the last class, in the copy that I have, with the check-in of Minbal Ibn Abdul Karim Abu Abdul Rahman, he said, Rahimakum Allah, may Allah show mercies upon you. Wa radiya ankum, may Allah be pleased with you. Wa khatama lana wa lakum bi khair, may Allah grant us and grant you good endings. All of these to encourage the Imam to provide him an answer. And the Imam gave him al-jawabul kafi. He gave him a sufficing answer in about 400 pages that covers in full details, O Ikhwa, every aspect of the question. And in fact, even things that are connected to the question, whether directly or indirectly, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah gave him full explanations, as we shall see, inshallah, regarding those questions. Whether the question is connected to this question directly, or whether the matter is connected to this question indirectly, al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, or Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah, or Imam al-Madrasat al-Jawziya, rahimahullah, he gave him full answers that we now refer to as al-Jawab al-Kafi liman sa'ala an al-dawa'i al-Shafi. May Allah make it useful for each and every one of us. So in the copy that I have, it says, فَأَجَابَ الشَّيْخُ الْإِمَامِ. And then the Shaykh, the Imam, the leading scholar, Al-Alim, the person of deep and vast knowledge, Shaykhul Islam. This man grew up and became elderly upon the religion of Islam. And he was a Shaykh of the people of Islam. So they are usually referred to as what? Shaykhul Islam. And he was not the first person who was called Shaykhul Islam. From the first persons who was referred to as Shaykhul Islam was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Al-Imam Ibn Nasir al-Din al-Dimashqi has compiled this in his book Ar-Raddul Wafir. He has a book regarding those who say that, why do you refer to somebody as Shaykhul Islam? So he went into our history. He began to mention all those who were referred to as Shaykhul Islam in the history of Islam before the time of Ibn Taymiyyah. So from amongst the first who were referred to as Shaykhul Islam was who? Abu Huraira. From those who were referred to as Shaykhul Islam in our history was that Tabi'i, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, and so on up to the time of Ibn Taymiyyah. From those who are referred to as Shaykh al-Islam was Al-Imam al-Nawawi. From those who are referred to as Shuyukh from Shaykh al-Islam was Al-Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr. And many of them, Shaykh al-Islam, Shaykh al-Islam. So it was not a strange thing. If you are a very learned person and Allah makes you and your knowledge beneficial to a large number of Muslims around the world and across, you get that title, Shaykhul Islam. In our own times, from those who have been referred to as Shaykhul Islam was Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz. And that was why, that was because his knowledge, his student, his books went all across the world. And from all across the world, the people of Islam benefited from his knowledge. So it says, فَأَجَابَ الشَّيْخُ. So the Shaykh al-Imam, the leading from amongst the scholars of Islam, Al-Alim, someone who is very vast in the knowledge of our religion, Shaykhul Islam, the Shaykh of the people of Islam, who became very old upon Islam, spreading knowledge and providing benefits. Mufti al-Firq, Ibn al-Qayyim was also referred to as Mufti al-Firq, the one who give religious verdicts regarding the issues about sex. Is very vast when he talks about sex. He talks about the Jahmiya. He talks about the Shia. He talks about the Khawarij. He talks about the Ashariya and all that sex. He talks about the Sufiya and all that sex. So he was Mufti al-Firq, a person well-grounded who gave religious guidance about the various sects amongst the Muslims. Shamsuddin. Shamsuddin was also a nickname that he was given. The sun. The sun provides energy. When you read the books of Ibn al-Qayyim, Allah will grant you some sort of energy from inside you. You feel like acting and becoming righteous immediately. You feel like dropping sins and acting upon righteousness. So perhaps because of this, he was given that nickname, Shamsuddin, a person whose influence, whose impact was seen, and his impact touched everybody in terms of the benefits that he provided. Abu Abdullah, that is his kunya, Muhammad, that is his name, Ibn Abi Bakrin, that is his father's name, Ibn Ayyub, that is his grandfather's name, Imam al-Madrasat al-Jawziya. This name, Imam al-Madrasat al-Jawziya, He got it, rahimahullah, from Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, the author of Tafsir al-Quran al-Azim, was the one who referred to his Shaykh ibn al-Qayyim as what? Imam al-Madrasati al-Jawziyyah. We already spoke about that madrasa, and that madrasa is in Dimashq, is in Damascus, al-Mahrusa. And that place is a place that Allah protects. It's a place of protection. Radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with Ibn al-Qayyim. Qailan. Ibn al-Qayyim said, you see that in your copy on the screen. You would not see Qailan. But in the copy that I have, it is one of the additional benefits in it. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah. So we start the response of the Imam, rahimahullah, to that question by that brother who had gotten into the trouble of sins, tribulations, that he knew that if it continued, his dunya and his akhirah would be destroyed. So he said, Alhamdulillah. Ibn al-Qayyim started with what? Alhamdulillah. Because the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, when he gave his speech, Yusni ala Allah, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn al-Qayyim started with Alhamdulillah. But it was not lengthy, as we always say, in Alhamdulillah, Nahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, and all of these. Because he was responding to a person who is sick. And the person who is sick needed, he wanted the cure as quick as possible. So he quickly wanted to address his problem. So he sufficed with what? Alhamdulillah. Rahimahullah. So he said, Alhamdulillah. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Thabata fi sahih, aw thabata fi sahih al-Bukhari. من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال ما أنزل الله داء إلا أنزل له شفاء. ابن القيم رحمه الله, he said, ثبت في صحيح البخاري, it is authentically reported in صحيح البخاري, من حديث أبي هريرة, from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, anin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu qal, that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, ma anzalallahu da'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma anzalallahu da'an, Allah has not created, ma awjada, Allah has not brought into creation, because Allah created all things. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay, Allah is the creator of all things. So ma anzal Allahu da'an, Allah has not created any illness, fungi, bacteria, all other illnesses that you have. Everything in creation was made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma anzala Allahu da'an illa anzala lahu shifa'an, Allah has not created, Allah has not sent down to this earth any illness, illa, except that anzala lahu shifa'an, he has created for that sickness shifa'an, a means of cure. Ma anzalallahu da'an, Allah has not sent down, Allah has not created any illness, illa anzalallahu shifa'an, except that he has created for that illness, he has created shifa'an, a means of curing that illness. So any illness that you find, any illness of any sort that you find, God anzala lahu shifa'a. Allah has created a cure for that illness. He said again, rahimahullah, wa fi sahih muslimin min hadith Jabir ibn Abdullah qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It also occurs in sahih Muslim from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, who said that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah's messenger, said likulli da'in dawa'un, likulli da'in, for every illness, for every disease, for every trouble, for every trial, dawa, there is a cure for it. For every trouble that a person falls into, maybe trouble comes as a result of a sin or being engrossed in disobedience to Allah, or from issues of infections, or issues of the mind, we shall come back to it. There is no problem, there is no trouble, there is no disease. There is no disease. Likulli da'in. For every disease, there is what? Dawa. There is cure for it. There is a means of taking away that ailment. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا أُصِيبَ دَوَاءُ الدَّاءِ, when the cure for the ailment becomes achieved, بَرَأَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that illness goes away بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. فَإِذَا أُصِيبَ دَوَاءُ الدَّاءِ, when the cure for that ailment becomes achieved, becomes attained, if you get to it, bara'a bi'ithnillahi azza wa jalla, that ailment becomes cured by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ikhwa, let us get this. You can see the approach of Ibn al-Qayyim to this man's problem. A man thinks that he has a problem, he got into trouble out of a sin, grievous sins he got into, and it is disturbing him. He feels, and he sees it clearly, his dunya is threatened, his akhirah will be destroyed. How do I get out of this? The first thing the Imam assures him is that that trouble, that problem, that disease, that illness, it has a cure. It was created by Allah, and for every disease, Allah has created for it, like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, anzala lahu shifa'an. Allah has also created a means of cure for that disease. So this, for example, we go a long way. Yaftahu bab al-amali wal-raja. It will open the door of hope and optimism for this individual. This man say, I'm drowning, I am gone, O Imam. The Imam is assuring there is cure. The man feels, how do I come out? There is cure, firstly. So he begins to become hopeful. He begins to be very optimistic. And he throws away pessimism. That pessimism that he will be destroyed in this dunya, he will be destroyed in akhirah, will be taken away by this response that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, likulli da'in dawa'un. For every illness that Allah has created, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has also created its cure. Oh brothers, let us all know, for whatever circumstance you are, there is the cure for that circumstance. There is a cure for that trouble. There is a cure for that disease. There is a cure for that ailment. فَإِذَا أُصِيبَ دَاءُ الدَّوَاءِ, when the cure for that ailment becomes achieved, because there is a cure. So what remains for us is to search for the cure. What remains for us is to make efforts to obtain the cure. Oh brothers, oh women, I'm depressed, don't sit down, stand up. There is a cure for it, and start working on the cure. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, fa'idha usiba dawa udda. When the cure for the ailment becomes achieved, bara'a biiznillahi azza wa jalla, Allah, by his permission, he would remove that disease by his permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is by way of giving the hope to that person who is sick, to give him hope, make him become optimistic. He'll begin to anticipate, okay, so what remains for me is to go on to search for the cure for the ailment. And it begins to make him understand that there is no locked up hope for him. He will come out of the first hopelessness, the first sadness, that will I ever get out of this thing? And that happens to a lot of people who are held down by illnesses. When a person is held down by illnesses, one of the wicked plots of shaitan is to make the person feel that you will never get out of this. This pain will continue forever. You have to remove that first by making us understand that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٌ, for every illness, for every disease, there is the cure. فَإِذَا أُصِيبَ دَوَاءُ الدَّاءِ بَرَأَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. When the cure for the disease becomes achieved, بَرَأَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, the person becomes healed and the illnesses go away by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the cure itself might be found. You have two persons with a particular disease. In fact, take them to be twins, as some of the scholars have explained. They live in the same area, they expose all other things being equal. The same disease, you may employ that cure for one of them and he becomes cured immediately. You may employ the same cure for the second one, and then he may not be cured, or that his own cure begins to delay. This one stood up immediately. The other one begins to delay. You begin to wonder what's happening. You begin to search what's responsible. And they are both in the same condition and circumstance. Why? Because the cure itself is connected to Iznun min Allah. It is connected to the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was why he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha usiba da'u dawa, when you even find the medicine for that disease, bara'a bi'iznillah, it will be cured by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He went on, he said, وَفِي مُسْنَدِ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدَ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أُسَامَةَ ابْنِ شَرِيكَ. It occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad from the Hadith of Usama ibn Shariq. This Usama ibn Shariq, he was a well-known companion of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, and his ahadith are very few. I doubt if his ahadith are up to three. Usama ibn Shariq, if you go to his Musnad, his narrations were very few. Radiallahu anhu is the one, he came to the Prophet as a visitor, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's the one reporting this hadith, radiallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Inna Allaha lam yunzil da'an illa anzala lahu shifa'a. Inna Allaha lam yunzil da'an illa anzala lahu shifa'an. Allah has not sent down any ailment, illa anzala lahu shifa'a, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also sent down a cure for it. So whatever ailment anyone has, keep it in mind, it has a cure. Inna Allah لم ينزل داء إلا أنزل له شفاء. Allah has not brought down, Allah has not sent down any ailment, illa anzala lahu shifa'a, except that he has also sent down along with it the cure for it. Alimahu man alimahu. Those who know that shifa, those who know the cure, those who are versed in the sciences of the treatment for that disease. Alimahu man alimahu. They know it. Those who know the cure, they know the cure. Wa jahilahu man jahilahu. And those who do not know the cure, they also do not know the cure. This means that sometimes diseases that come, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 doctors may not know the cure. Professors may not know the cure. Hospitals may not know the cure. They may also know the cure. So knowing the cure for diseases is left and right. It may be known, it may not be known. But the fact is that ma anzalallahu da'an illa anzalalahu shifa'a. Allah has not sent down any disease, except he has also sent down the cure for that disease. Alimahu man alimahu. Those who know the cure, know the cure. وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ. Those who are ignorant of the cure are perhaps also ignorant of the cure. The scholars say regarding this that that is the reason why sometimes a doctor will treat an individual, a person versed in the science of treatment will treat the individual, and then the disease begins to get worse. The mother, يَجْهَالُهُ, he does not know the cure. He only wants to try. While others know the cure. So and so, is this the cure? This is the cure. This and this was the cure. This is the cure. This and this was the cure. This is the cure. They know the cure. Alimahu man alimahu. Wa jahilahu man jahilahu. Those who know the cure, know the cure. Those who don't know the cure, don't know the cure. So knowing the cure for diseases is one thing. Being the medical practitioner, whether in the conventional medicine, or in what we now refer to as orthodox medicine, or in the traditional medicine, Allahu A'lam. All those who get involved in treating people, maybe in the diseases of the body or the diseases of the mind, we are coming back to all of these in full details. The matter about their cures is connected to knowledge, knowing it. You may know it, you may not know it. Sometimes the doctors will diagnose the individual, they say, we have not found anything, and the man is feeling trouble, is feeling pains. Sometimes someone told me recently that she had a dream. She was axed in the hand in the dream, and the hand is paining me. So how do you explain this in the hospital? This hand is paining me. What was the cause? I was being axed in the hand. One of our mothers said to me about 2 weeks ago, a girl was going, not in Nigeria. It happened in the Western world. So not say, oh, it was in Nigeria. It happened in the Western world. A young girl was going, a bird flew into her. A young girl was going, a bird flew into the girl. Since that time, she has become unwell. As I speak. So there are different kinds of ailments. Ailments are not restricted to those ones we see, we test, we sense, we can work with in the laboratories. They become inexplicable. They defy all modern day medical practice. So knowledge about treatment, you can know it and you may not know it. But you will see that the person is unwell. So alimahu man alimahu wa jahilahu man jahilahu. If you take this one to a neurosurgeon now, what will he say? If you take this to a pediatrician, what will he say? He has no knowledge of this. The same way a person breaks a bone in an accident. take him to a man under the, he's not seeing the bones. That he wants to arrange, that person definitely he needs an expert who will open up the place in a hospital properly, set the bones aright. If he needs anything external, like iron or something, to place the bone, stretch the bones, and then allow the bone, place a POP to hold the bones together. This is proper orthodox medicine. So treatment, it's about knowing it or not knowing it. Alimahu, man alimahu. وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ وَفِي لَفْظٍ. In another expression of this hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَضَعْ دَاءً إِلَّا وَضَعَ لَهُ شِفَاءً أَوْ دَوَاءً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَمْ يَضَعْ دَاءً, لَمْ يَخْلُقْ, He has not created any illness except that وَضَعَ لَهُ شِفَاءً أَوْ Dawa'an, except that he has also created along with it for it a cure, a means of cure, or a means of treatment. Illa da'an wahidan, except one ailment. What is that ailment? Qalu ya Rasulallah, wa ma huwa? What is that ailment that there is no cure for it? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al haram. The treat the disease, the weakness, dhaful kibar, the weakness that comes with old age. The weakness that comes with old age. I've seen situations where medical doctors treat someone, they say, it's old age, ma. It's old age. The scholars say it's not as if the old age itself as being old is a disease. No. But it predisposes you to ailment. Because the body's ability to fight disease becomes weak. So many of that, the limbs, the organs become weak. They were not as strong as the body. So the individual becomes any external disease or something that comes may find its way. It's not as if being elderly itself is a disease, but it predisposes the individual to a disease, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because that is what Allah has created for that period for us as individuals. He says, Wallahu khalaqakum min dhafin, thumma ja'ala min ba'di dhafin quwwatan, thumma ja'ala min ba'di quwwatin dhafan wa shayba. So it's the weakness and old age that comes at that time. So this old age predisposes the individual towards to illness because of the weakness of the organs, of the limbs, the body defense system, and all of this. This weakness, there is nothing you can do about it. It predisposes the individual to illness. So you see, elders, today I have headache, tomorrow my leg, next tomorrow my waist, the following day my mind, the next day I can't sleep well. All of these happen to the elderly. In all of these, Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said to us, وقال الترمذي, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi said regarding this last expression that we read, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. This is a hadith that is what? حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. He said, وَهَذَا, all of these that I have said, that لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٌ, that every ailment has its own cure. In all of these, يَعُمُّ أَدْوَاءَ الْقَلْبِ وَالْرُوحِ وَالْبَدَنِ وَأَدْوِيَتَهَا. All cures, that all diseases, all ailments have cures. It says, يَعُمُّ أَدْوَاءَ الْقَلْبِ. It includes the diseases of the heart. There are diseases of the heart, like al-hasad, jealousy, the disease of the heart, like al-bughd, getting annoyed unnecessarily regarding someone. It's a disease of the heart. Like al-khawf, a person is afraid unnecessarily. Like al-harm. Like in all of these, various forms of the diseases of the heart. Like al-jahl, ignorance. It's a disease of the heart. Like ash-shaq, the individual is regularly in doubt about himself, in doubt about what he does. Someone told me that when She performs wudu. She can wash the leg more than 20 times because she's always doubting whether she has washed the leg or not. So she stays for hours trying to make wudu. This is from the diseases of the heart. It has a cure. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna li kulli da'in dawa'un. Li kulli da'in dawa'un. All of these, they have cures. Calm down. You will get the cure. Allah has created it. He has also created along with it the cure for it. Waruh. It also includes the diseases of the soul. Like mas. When someone is afflicted by a jinn, it affects his ruh. When someone is afflicted with hasad, it affects his ruh. Hasad itself in the mind of the hasid is a disease of the mind. When the mahsud suffers hasad, it becomes maradul ruh. It affects his soul. All of these. Likulli da'in dawa'un. Yes, there's cure for all of them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, it also covers wal badan. It says, hadha ya'ummu adwa al qalbi wal ruhi wal badan. It also includes the diseases of the body. I have headache. I have migraine. My eyes can't see well. My ears are humming. I have a dental problem. I have a neck problem. My blood pressure is high. My blood pressure is low. I have diabetes. I have cancer. I have this. I have that. That we complain about. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma anzalallahu da'an illa anzalallahu shifa'an. In all of these, Allah has also sent down the cure for them. Wa adwiyataha. All of them, they have cures. So every disease has a cure. But the one who has fallen into trouble thinking that his hereafter will be destroyed, don't worry. You have a cure. This will improve his hope. It will give him optimism. It will give him energy from inside. Even when he has not clearly gotten the cure, he has started to feel that he is already cured. Why? He's been told that his disease has a cure. Look at where Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim started the treatment from. We can understand that this is from a very highly psychologically beneficial angle for the person who is ill. He thinks, oh, I'm distressed. No, don't worry. It has a cure. Allah has given that illness. Allah created it. That illness, Allah has created a cure for it. Don't worry. You have a cure. So it will make it. So, okay, the next question, what is the cure? How do I handle it? How do I go about it? Because he's now giving the hope from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ma anzalallahu da'an illa anzala ma'ahu shifa'an. Allah has not sent down any disease except that he has sent down the cure along with it. I think we can stop here bi'iznillah today. We'll continue from here in the subsequent reading of our book, Adda'u wa Dawa, or Al-Jawab al-Kafi liman sa'ala an-Dawa al-Shafi. I hope that we understand his question, and I hope that we understand the angle from where Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah has started to provide an answer. He wants him to be able to listen to the cure. If the man is so heartbroken, no matter what you say, he will not listen. So he started by a mental cure, started providing psychological support for the man. May Allah forgive each and every one of us. We can take just one question today. We can take just one question today because the time is already far spent. I will also encourage our brothers, our admin, to store these questions. We can come back to them, bi'iznillah, on a day we may choose for questions and answers regarding Adda'u wa Dawa. May Allah make us understand better than we try to explain. Please, can we have just one question today? I don't know who is handling the class. Abu Abdurrahman?
The question reads, جزاكم الله خير يا شيخنا. Please, may I ask, was the answer of Ibn Qayyim given as a speech or was it written as a book?
Well, we have seen from these that we read, I have gone through some of the manuscripts too. I have about 5 copies, printed copies of this work. So I have tried to go through the manuscripts. I saw that it was a written response. Perhaps the question was also written and sent to him. So he wrote the response as a written response. Ibn al-Qayyim gave it as a written response. Ibn al-Qayyim gave it as a written response. Or that he read the response in class to his students. He wrote it down and read it to his students and then sent it to the person who sent in the question. The question itself, if you read it properly, you'll see that it's something that someone sent. It's not sounding like someone, something he was asking him face to face. So it was like a question sent, like a letter, and a response also sent as a letter. But the Imam read the response to his students. I hope that it is clear. I mean, can we call it a day today, Abu Amir? I mean, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I mean, I mean, wa iyyakum.